Chapter 7. Lantano Garawashi sat in Kylar's path, his sword naked across his lap. Mountainous Fir Kusat stood beside him, meat slab arms folded. They blocked a narrow game trail that led along the southern edge of the hunter's wood. Fir muttered a warning as Kylar approached. Garawashi's sword was unmistakable. The hilt was long enough for one or two hands, pure Mistaril, inscribed with gold runes in old Siurin. The slightly curving blade was inscribed with a dragon's head facing the tip of the blade. As Kylar came closer, the dragons breathed fire. The flames traveled within the blade, and before them, Siur Celestos turned clear as glass. The flames rolled out farther as Kylar approached. Kylar brought the Kakari to his eyes and saw Siur Celestos in the hues of magic. That was when he knew the sword was the product of another age. The magics themselves had been crafted to be beautiful, and Kylar couldn't understand the least of them. He sensed playfulness, grandeur, hauteur, and love. Kylar realized he had a tendency for getting into things that were way over his head, not least of which was trying to steal such a sword from Lantano Garawashi. "Drop the shadows, Kylar, or I'll help you drop them," Fir said. 15 paces away from them, Kylar dropped the shadows. "So, mages can see me when I'm invisible. Damn it!" He'd suspected as much. Fir smiled joylessly. "Only 1 in 10 men. 9 in 10 women. I can only see you within 30 paces. Dorian could have seen you half a mile away, through trees. But I forget myself. Baronet Kylar Stern of Cenaria, also known as the Night Angel, war son of Wetboy Durzo Blint. This is war leader Lantano Garawashi the Undefeated, the chosen of Siur Celestos, of the Ainu Heights Lantanos." Kylar clasped his left hand to his stump and bowed in the Siurin style. "War leader, the many tales of your deeds attest to your prowess." Garawashi rose and slid Siur Celestos into its sheath. He bowed, and his mouth twitched.
"Night Angel, likewise the few tales of yours."
The horizon was brightening, but it was still dark in the forest. It smelled like rain and coming winter. Kylar wondered if they would be the last smells he would experience. He smiled on the rising tide of despair.
"We seem to have a problem," Kylar said.
"Several, actually."
"What's that?" Garawashi asked.
"I can't fight you invisible without killing Fir first, and even if I did, neither of you merits death."
"You have a sword I need," Kylar said instead.
"Are you out of your—"
Fir asked, but cut off at Garawashi's raised hand.
"Forgive me, Night Angel," Garawashi said, "but you're not left-handed, and you move like the loss of your sword hand was recent. If you so desire death that you would challenge me, I will not deny you."
"But why would you?"
"Because I made a deal with the wolf." Mere hours afterward, Kylar had found Durzo's note that ended, "Make no deals with the wolf." Maybe this was why. "I can't win. Not unless I give you a hand," the Kakari said in Kylar's mind.
The black metal ball that lived within Kylar spoke rarely, and it wasn't always helpful when it did.
You're hilarious.
Kylar thought back at it. Garawashi's eyes flicked down to Kylar's wrist. Fi'ir was agog. Kylar glanced down and saw jet-black metal writhing from his stump. It resolved itself slowly into a hand. He tried to make a fist. And it did.
Are you joking? I'm not that cruel. By the way, Jorsan Alcestis didn't like the idea of his enemies coming back to life. If that sword kills you, you're really dead.
Funny. The wolf failed to mention that. Kylar wiggled the black fingers. He even had some sensation in them. At the same time, the hand was too light. It was hollow, the skin thinner than parchment. Hey, while you're doing miracles...
No.
You didn't even listen.
Go ahead.
It felt like the Kakari was rolling its eyes. How did it do that? It didn't even have eyes.
Can you fix its weight?
No.
Why not?
The Kakari sighed.
I stay one size. I'm already covering all your skin and making a hand for you. Invisibility, blue flames, and an extra hand not enough for you?
So making a dagger of you and throwing it would be a bad idea? The Kakari went silent in a huff, and Kylar grinned. Then he realized he was grinning at Lantano Garawashi, who had 63 deaths tied to his hair, and 82 in his eyes.
You need a minute?
Garawashi asked, lifting an eyebrow.
I'm ready now,
Kylar said. He drew his sword.
Kylar?
Fi'ir said.
What are you going to do with the sword?
I'm going to put it somewhere safe. Fi'ir's eyes widened.
You're taking it into the wood?
I was thinking I'd throw it in.
Good idea,
Fi'ir said.
Perhaps a nice idea, but not a good one,
Garawashi said. He closed the distance between them in an instant. The swords rang together in the staccato melody that would climax in death. Kylar decided to feign a tendency to overextend on his ripostes. With a swordsman as talented as Lantano Garawashi, he should only have to show the weakness twice and spring the trap the third time. Except that the first time he overextended, Garawashi's sword was into the gap, raking Kylar's ribs. He could have killed Kylar with that thrust, but he held back, wary of a trap. Kylar staggered back, and Garawashi let him regroup, his eyes showing disappointment. They'd barely crossed swords for 5 seconds. The man was too fast, ridiculously fast. Kylar brought the Kakari to his eyes and was even more stunned.
You're not even talented,
Kylar said.
Lantano Garawashi needs no magic.
Kylar Stern surely does.
Kylar felt an old familiar shiver, an echo from his past. It was the fear of dying. With Alatiran broadswords, Kylar could have crushed Garawashi with the brute strength of his talent. Against the elegant Sioran sword, Kylar's talent did almost nothing for him.
Let's get on with it, Kylar said.
They began again, Garawashi feeling Kylar out, even giving ground, seeing what Kylar could do. But there was no holding back. Kylar had seen that. Soon, Kylar would tire and try something desperate. Garawashi would be waiting for it. How many desperate men had he seen in 63 duels? Surely every man who had survived the first clash of blades had the same sick feeling in his stomach that Kylar had now. There was no room for self-delusion once the blades began singing. Something changed on Garawashi's face. It wasn't enough to tell Kylar what he was going to do, but it was enough to tell him that Garawashi thought he knew Kylar's strengths. Now he would end it. There was a beat. Kylar waited for Garawashi to advance, those damn long arms of his unbelievably quick, the stance fluid and sure.
"You feel it, don't you?"
Garawashi asked, withholding his attack.
"The rhythm."
"Sometimes,"
Kylar grunted, his eyes not leaving Garawashi's center, where he would see any movement begin.
"Once, I heard it as music, in truth."
"Many died that day?"
Garawashi asked. Kylar shrugged.
30 Highlanders, 4 witches, and a Caladoran prince," Fi'ir said.
Lantano Garawashi smiled, not surprised at Fi'ir's knowledge.
"Yet today you fight woodenly. You are stiff, slower than usual. Do you know why? That day you faced death no less than you do today."
"Wrong. But I didn't know that then."
"Today," Garawashi continued, "you are afraid. It narrows your vision, tenses your muscles, makes you slow. It will make you dead. Fight to win, Kylar Stern, not to not lose."
It was disconcerting to hear good advice from the man who was about to kill him.
"Here," Garawashi said.
He lifted Sior Celestos, and Kylar saw the edges go blunt.
"I'll know when you're ready."
Fi'ir leaned up against a tree and whistled quietly. Garawashi attacked again, and within seconds, the dull sword scraped Kylar's ribs. A few more seconds passed in furious ringing, and the dull blade grazed his forearm, then jabbed his shoulder. But even as the blows rained down on him, Kylar began to remember his master Durzo's merciless sparring. His fear receded. This was the same, except now Kylar had more endurance, more strength, more speed, and more experience than a year ago. And he'd beaten Durzo. Once. Kylar's vision cleared, and his pulse slowed from its frenzied hammering.
"That's it," Garawashi said.
Sior Celestos went sharp once more, and they began. Kylar was aware of Fi'ir. The second echelon blademaster was seated cross-legged on the ground now, jaw slack. The man was muttering to himself.
"Gable's game to many waters, to 3 mountain castles, good. Good. To Heron's hunt, to... Was that Proval's defense? Goramon's dive to... What the hell? I've never... Irmi's bout. Good gods! Some variation on 2 tigers? Harani bulls to..."
The fight accelerated, but Kylar felt a calm. He was, he realized, smiling.
Madness.
Yet it was so, and Garawashi's thin lips were drawn up in a little smirk of their own. There was beauty here, something precious and rare. Every man wished he could fight. Few could, and only 1 in 100 years fought this well. Kylar had never thought to see another master on a par with Durzo Blint. But Lantano Garawashi might even be better than Durzo. A little faster. His reach a little longer. Kylar dove behind a sapling a second before Garawashi sheared it in 2. As Garawashi pushed aside the falling tree, Kylar thought. He only had one thing Lantano Garawashi didn't. Well, aside from invisibility.
Oh, don't use that. It wouldn't be fair.
What Lantano Garawashi didn't have was years of fighting against someone better than he was. Kylar was studying Garawashi's style in a way Garawashi had never needed study anyone's. It was straightforward. Garawashi basically depended on his superior speed, strength, reach, technique, and flexibility to win, and...
there.
Kylar went through half of Lord Umber's glut, and then modified it, twisting the last parry so Sior Celestos missed his cheek by a breath. His own sword gashed Garawashi's shoulder, but Garawashi's counter was already coming. Kylar threw up an arm and instinctively brought the Kakari up along the ridge. White light blazed and threw thousands of sparks, as if Kylar's arm were an enormous flint and Sior Celestos steel. Kylar's arm burned. The warriors staggered back, and Kylar knew that if Garawashi had put any more force into that counter, it would have destroyed the Kakari.
"Please, please don't ever do that again."
"Who taught you that?"
Garawashi demanded, his face bright red.
"I..."
Kylar stopped, confused. His left arm was throbbing, bleeding where Sior Celestos had scraped it.
"He means the combination, Kylar,"
Fear said, his eyes wide.
"That move's called Garawashi's turn. No one else is fast enough to do it."
Kylar fell back into a ready stance, not in fear now, but futility. He'd thrown his best at Garawashi and barely scratched him.
"No one taught me," he said.
It just seemed right. The anger dropped from Lantano Garawashi's face in an instant. This was a man, Kylar saw, of sudden passions, unpredictable, intense, dangerous. Garawashi drew a white handkerchief and reverently wiped Sior Celestos clean of Kylar's blood. He sheathed the Blade of Heaven.
"I will not kill you today.
Doen, Kylar. Peace rest with your blade. In 10 years, you will be full in your prime. Let us meet then in Ainu and fight before the royal court. Masters such as we deserve to fight with minstrels and maidens and lesser masters in attendance. Should you win, you may have all that is mine, including the holy blade. Should I win, at least you will have had 10 years of life and glory, yes? It will be an event anticipated for a decade and retold for 1,000. In 10 years, Kylar would indeed be in his prime, and what Garawashi wasn't saying was that he would be past his own. Garawashi would then be, what, 45? Perhaps his speed and Kylar's would be equal then. He would still have his reach, and both would have a lot more experience. But that was the more precious coin to Kylar. Would the wolf care if Kylar waited 10 years? Hell, if Kylar didn't get himself killed, he wouldn't even see the wolf for... well, probably 10 years. Then again, if Kylar died on this sword, he wouldn't see the wolf at all. Grimacing, Kylar said,
"You tell me.
If I promised you that I was going to get something for you, would you want it now or in 10 years?
If you try now, you'll die. In 10 years, you'll have a chance.
A month ago, Kylar had one goal: to convince his girlfriend Eileen that 18 years as a virgin was quite enough. Then Jarl had been murdered while delivering the news that Logan Gyre was trapped in his own dungeon. Kylar's loyalties to the living and the dead had given him two new goals that had cost him the first. He'd abandoned Eileen as he'd sworn he wouldn't, in order to save Logan and avenge Jarl by killing the God King. It had cost him an arm, a magical bond to the beautiful disaster named Vi Savari, and an oath to steal Garawashi's blade. Now, all Kylar wanted was to make sure his sacrifices hadn't been for nothing, and then go make things right with Eileen. As if to punish him for his faithlessness, he now imagined her saying, "An oath you only keep when it's convenient isn't an oath at all." "I can't put it off," Kylar said. "Sorry." Garawashi shrugged.
"It is a matter of honor, yes?"
"I understand."
"That is a pitworm!"
Fi'ir shouted, leaping to his feet. Kylar turned, and all he could see was a hole tearing in space 10 paces away, and through it, hell and rushing fire-cracked skin. In the forest, a big-nosed, big-eared Würdmeister was laughing.